Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 8, verse 12, and then John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. This is the word of the Lord. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who has sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. And the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Father, we come to give you glory and praise that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come as light for our salvation. We pray that you would encourage us this morning, that you would show us, open our eyes to see the glory of the good news of the gospel, who is Jesus, the light of the world. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Well, it is a delight to be with you this morning. We have begun what's traditionally called Advent, the time before Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who comes truly God and truly man. It is right that we spend some time thinking about Jesus at this time of year, in the midst of all the busyness and the fun things, and yet even sometimes the hard things that Christmas can bring, that we want to spend time thinking about Jesus, who came, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, and for all who trust in him, to take their sin upon himself, he dies, pays for the penalty that we deserved, is raised from the dead, so that we could be forgiven and given new life, righteous life, with God for all of eternity. That is who we celebrate. And so to help us do that over this month, we're looking at these I am statements that Jesus made in the gospel according to John. If you want to follow along and find the passage in a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you somewhere under a seat nearby. It's on page 894, is John chapter 8, verse 12. Last week we talked about, Jim led us in, to Jesus being the bread of life and all that means to us. Well, at least some of what that means to us. We can't comprehend all of it in 30 minutes. And this morning we're talking about Jesus being light of the world. Light of the world. It's a phrase, if you've been around the church or even in the world, light is a popular kind of phrase. To be light, to shine as light, to show your light to other people. But really, what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? What does it mean even that then we would to shine as light? I did a quick Google search, which is a dangerous idea. But I did it and I found one blog that said this is what it means to shine light. It just gave some examples. One is to smile, is to be friendly, is to listen well, and then to give to charity. Now, all those are wonderful things. You should try to smile on occasion, right? Listen well. But is that really what shining as lights means, following Jesus as the light? Is that what he wanted, just to be an example for us, to act like him and be kind like him and generous like him, and that's what it means that he's the light? Well, it sounds good, but it all falls apart once you see that Jesus did things like fed the 5,000 with a few pieces of bread and some fish. Well, I can't follow that example very easily, right? He raised the dead. He opened the blind eye. So is he really saying, "I'm the light of the world, follow me and just be kind and be nice"? No, it means much more than just that. Jesus is saying he is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh, and he has come to save the world. So what we want to do this morning is we want to first understand the context of where and when Jesus makes this statement, because it's really important to put ourselves in the place that Jesus says, because this is a bold statement by Jesus to be the light of the world. Second, we're going to look at what it means that he is light, and that the light of Christ makes the darkness flee. And then finally, his call to follow him as the light. But first, there's this context. When Jesus says this, whenever you study the scriptures, context is really important. What's around that particular verse, especially if you have one verse, what's around it? Well, in John chapter 7 into 8, there's this festival, this feast going on in Israel, which is where Jesus is, called the Feast of Tabernacles, or you may hear it as the Feast of Booths. We learn first about the feast back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 23, Numbers 29, and even in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the people find the law again, the first thing they do in obedience is to celebrate the Feast of Booths. It was a time when Israel was supposed to gather, the men of Israel go to Jerusalem, and they would all build these temporary shelters. And the point was to remind them of God's salvation as he brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt, and brought them into the promised land. Now, it took 40 years for them to get there. And as they went, they built these temporary shelters during that 40 years. And so God said, every year, have this feast to remember that I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt, out of darkness, and into the land that I promised you. And so that is what is happening at this moment. The feast is happening and it's wrapping up. It's a week long. It's coming to a close. And that is the context in which Jesus says what he says. Now, in the scriptures, we don't get all the details of everything that happened during Jesus' day during the feast, because over time, things were added and adapted and changed to try to, as one author said, embellish the whole feast to make it even more amazing and profound. And so one of the things that happened during this feast is during the night, you have to read this in Jewish history, other context, during the night that there was this illumination of the temple, they called it. So there's different courts of the temple, and one of the courts is the court of women, and yet that's where the women would gather. Pretty self-explanatory, right? And so there were these four large pillars with lanterns on the top, candelabras on the top, huge, I mean massive pillars that took ladders to climb up to, filled with oil, and then they were lit. And when these four pillars, these four lanterns were lit, it would light up the entire temple area. And because the temple's kind of up on a mount a little bit, it would light up the city. Now, just imagine, we don't have electricity, right? So it's bright for these people. It is shining forth all the way. Now, why did they do this? They did that as a reminder that in the wilderness, God led them through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud during the day, and at night, a pillar of fire. And so they light these lamps to remind themselves of what God did for them, that he was, as Psalm 27:1 says, he is our light and our salvation. Whom shall I fear? So they have this celebration. There is singing, there is dancing, because God saved us from Egypt. He brought us out of darkness into the land, flowing with milk and honey. Just put yourself in that situation. These lamps have burned every night. Big celebrations, remembering who God is. And at the end of that, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Those lights will go out. I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Jesus is saying in that moment, in that context, I am God. I am the Messiah. One commentator said it this way: to stand in the middle of the temple in conjunction with the Feast of Tabernacles and to say, I am the light, was like saying, I am the Shekinah glory, and I am the pillar of fire. It's hard to imagine a more graphic claim to deity. Jesus is not just saying, I'm gonna help you live a good life. He's saying, no, I am God in the flesh. I am the one that God said would come to bring salvation. I am the true light. It would have been shocking to hear Jesus say it. It's bold. And if you read in the context, if you keep reading in chapter 8, immediately the Pharisees, the Jews, start asking questions of him because they know what he means. As soon as he said that, they would have had all these different scriptures coming to mind about light. Light is all over the Bible. It would take us days and days to discuss all the light in the scriptures. But when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, I think they would go back perhaps to two in particular scriptures in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, and in Isaiah 49, 6, God, through Isaiah, says, I'm going to send the servant who we know as the Messiah. And this is what the servant, the Messiah, will be and what he'll do. Isaiah 42, I will give you as a covenant for the people. He'll give the Messiah as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. And in Isaiah 49, verse 6, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God said he was going to send his servant, the Messiah, as a light to the nations. They celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles. And at the end, Jesus says, I am that light. I have come to bring salvation, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. I have come to free you from the oppression, not just of a nation, but from your greatest enemy, and that's sin. It is a bold statement. It would have been shocking. Do you feel that? Can you sense the power and the boldness of Jesus' claim? This little baby who we celebrate, whose birthday is to come and we honor and we glorify, he is the light of the world for all the nations. But what does he do as the light? What does it really mean that he is the light? Well, light, just practically, it makes darkness flee. Look again, chapter 8, verse 12. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, you will no longer walk in darkness. Now, light and dark, lightness and darkness in the script, they're all throughout the Bible, all the way from the beginning to the end, light and dark. It would be a weeks-long study for you to study all of that. Again, we can't cover it all. It's all throughout the scriptures. And often, light is associated with things like righteousness and purity and goodness and kindness and God's glory and truth. And darkness is related to unrighteousness and impurity and wicked, evil things and sin. And so Jesus is saying, by I'm the light of the world, if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. He's saying there's two ways to live. There's two choices. You either walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. Apart from Jesus, apart from trusting in Jesus, everyone is in the dark. Everyone. The Bible teaches that all of us are sinful. Every single one of us has rebelled against God. We have set up false idols. We have looked to other things as our bread, as our satisfaction, instead of looking at Jesus. And we, without Christ, are under the wrath of God. We are in darkness with no hope in the world. But in fact, it's even worse. It's not just that apart from Christ that we're in the darkness. It's that we love the darkness. We love the darkness so much that we try to convince ourselves that things that God says are evil are really good. And things that are good are evil. We love the darkness so much. It's hard to be honest about that in our lives, isn't it? That before Christ, we really did love the darkness. But it's not anything new that those apart from Christ love the darkness. Isaiah warned about this. God through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's not hard to see in our current day, is it? That there are things that God has said are evil, and yet we say they're good as a culture. We try to claim that the things that God says are good are actually evil. It's not just that we're lost in sin, it's that we love the darkness. We love it. We love it. And it's because we love it and we are dead in our sins, caught in darkness, that we have no hope. We have no hope to actually know God, to be who God created us to be, and to know Jesus. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything. We redefine things. We redefine good and call, we redefine evil and call it good. It happens as a culture, but it also happens personally, doesn't it? When we try to excuse away certain sins that we committed, then we cover up bad things and call them good. Oh, I'm just sharing a prayer request when really I'm gossiping. Right? We don't want to admit. We don't want to admit the things we're doing are dark, are sinful. And so we change the definitions. We fix them so that we can feel like we're good and we're actually people of light. But why is it? Why do we? Why do we do this? Well, it reminded me, growing up, I used to play flashlight tag. Did anybody ever play flashlight tag? All the older people in the room, right? When we played outside, right? We would play flashlight tag, move to this neighborhood, and we would play flashlight tag. Go in, all the kids would gather and say, what do we do? Let's play flashlight tag. Go in, get all the darkest clothes you can find in your house. You'd come back out. One person had a flashlight, and you had a couple minutes to go and hide. You had boundaries of the number of yards you could go hide in, right? And somebody would always cheat and go too far, and they'd always win. But you had boundaries, right? These 3 yards or 4 yards, hide anywhere in those, try not to break anything, but don't get tagged with the light. Don't get tagged with the light. The whole point was to avoid the light. Well, that's what we do in our sin. We know there's light. We see there's light, but we actually try to avoid it. And how do I know this is true? Because Jesus said it in John chapter 3. Verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. We don't want to be exposed. I want to act like I'm all good, that I do righteous things, that God would accept me, that I'm not as bad as other people. So I redefine. I try to avoid being exposed by the light and pretend like I'm in the light. Jesus says we love the darkness, so much so that we will call evil good. And it's in that reality that Jesus comes as the light of the world. He comes as the light of the world, that if we are able, by God's grace, He opens our eyes, we are able to see the light, the darkness starts to flee. The darkness runs away. And we can see who Jesus truly is. And we can see, actually, we've been living in the dark. And this separates us from God. It keeps us from ever being in a right relationship with the one who created us. But we're blinded to it until God shines the light opens our eyes and helps us to see who he truly is. This is what Jesus actually does just one chapter later when he meets the man who was born blind. And Jesus opens his eyes so that he can see. It's just this beautiful illustration of what he said. I am the light of the world. And as God opens our eyes to be able to see, the darkness flees. Sin no longer has mastery as we trust that Jesus is light, that we would be freed from the slavery of sin and come into the light, to walk with him, to enjoy the blessings that he provides for us. Now, most of us practically don't like the dark, do we? Even little kids certainly tend to not like the dark. But even us as adults, we tend to not like the dark, right? When I remember moving here, coming from kind of towns and cities, and I drove outside of the downtown Blacksburg, and I was like, whoa, there's not many lights out here. I still, when I go out to the country, you people that live out in the boondocks, go, man, it is so dark out here. I don't love it. Well, in our family, we have one that doesn't like the dark in a big way. Our youngest is not fond of the dark. He's not fond of storms. Because if a storm comes and lightning strikes, then all the power could go out. Now, praise God, we live in 2022 with great technology. We have this lantern right here. Yeah. We don't have to put oil in a lamp and light it and keep it lit. We just keep this plugged in when we need it. But our youngest, Caleb, when he hears thunder, he goes and he grabs this. Just in case the lights go out. He doesn't like the dark. He knows that when all the lights go out and it gets pitch black dark, that light makes all the darkness go away. And he can carry this with him. And he could just walk around the house all day and feel safe because the darkness can't get to him, right? The darkness has gone away with the light. This is what Jesus is saying. He is the light of the world. Now, I have to turn it off. Okay, it's turned off. It has a blinking feature. Illustrations break down at some point, right? But this is what Jesus is saying. When we see him as the light, the darkness flees. He provides forgiveness for our sin. We loved the dark, but if we see him as light, we acknowledge him for the truth of who he really is, and we trust in him, then we can be forgiven of our sins. We can be no longer enslaved to the darkness. We can be led out into newness of life, cleansed, forgiven in every way by the light of the world. Now, yeah, darkness will still be out there, but we follow the light, and he takes care of us. He helps us to continue to flee from the darkness. This is what Jesus is saying as the light of the world. But there's a choice to make, isn't there? Jesus even tells us in verse 12 there of chapter 8, after he said, I'm the light of the world, what's the first thing he says next? Whoever follows me. It's not enough to know that he's the light, to think of him in this nice way as some light. No, Jesus says, if you want to not walk in darkness, then you need to follow him. You need to believe in him. And perhaps there are some of you that have yet to trust in Christ, that have yet to acknowledge he is the light of the world, that I love my sin, I want to stay in darkness, but I'm enslaved to it. I'm tired of it, but I can't break free. Jesus says, look to me as the light of the world. Come into the light. Yes, have all your sin exposed. God already knows it. But when you come into the light, asking that God would forgive you of all your sin, that he would shine his light of the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ on you, then all your sin is forgiven. Jesus paid for it. And now you can walk in this newness of life, free from the dark, no longer enslaved to the dark, and actually having the power to not go back there again. Will you trust in Christ? He is the light of the world. But if you've already trusted in Christ, what are we to do? We know he's the light of the world. We decided to come into the light a week ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. What do we do now? Well, I think we learn from Paul that we shine as lights. This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Paul takes the light of the world and he applies it to our life and said, if you're in the light, if you've trusted in the light, if you're forgiven of your sins, you're no longer walking in darkness. There's two things to do. First, don't grumble or dispute. What is Paul thinking of? I think Paul is thinking again of the wilderness experience of the nation of Israel. That as God led them through, he's saving them from slavery and they're waiting to be brought into the promised land. They're complaining. They're grumbling. They're disputing over things so much so that they're actually tempted to just go back. You know what? If we just went back to Egypt, it would be better for us. Paul says, don't be like the nation of Israel. Don't grumble and dispute. Don't fall into the temptation to put your toe back in the darkness. No, you've been freed from that. You no longer are under the power of sin. You are in the light of Christ. Live that way. Live blameless and innocent by the power of the Spirit. Live a holy life. Flee from the sin. Run away from the sin in which you once walked. You've been transferred. You've been transferred, as Paul says in Colossians 1:13. You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. If Jesus has saved you, how do you shine that light? You walk in holiness. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, you stop calling things that are evil good, and you don't call good evil. You follow what God says in his word, which is what he says second. What do you do first? Don't grumble and dispute. Don't live in sin anymore. Stay away from the darkness. But second, hold fast to the word of life. That hold fast has I think, two connotations to it. One for us, that we hold fast to the word, that Jesus is the light of the world. We need to know him. We need to understand his commandments. We need to hold fast to it because we will be tempted to walk away. But it also has the sense of holding forth the word. That we, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, we shine our light by proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That we let people know, yes, there is a light. There is one true light, only one light, in which will lead you out of darkness and into the light that he promises. Jesus said in John 12:47, he said, this life, this light of life is eternal life. But you also notice in that passage in 12, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. Now what he's saying is I'm going to have two appearances. My first appearance, I'm coming as Savior. My second appearance, I'm going to come as Judge. But for now, for those of us living between the two appearances, Christ is in the business of saving his children, of helping them see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. They're blinded. They're blinded to it, but God will use us to open their eyes, just like he used someone else. He will use some means to open your eyes so that you can proclaim the good news of the gospel to others. It's exactly what Jesus sent Paul to do. Listen to this in Acts chapter 26. Jesus says to Paul, "You should go to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Paul, go and open their eyes. Open their eyes so that they would turn from the darkness and come into the light for the forgiveness of sins. If you are already in the light, praise God. You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. You're forgiven. You're made new. And now, as you walk in that light, you get to shine the light through your good deeds and your good words. And what a great time it is. It might seem a little cheesy, but have you noticed there's a lot of lights at this time of year? They're everywhere, aren't they? You have them on your house, in your house. People, right, the competition, who can have the most lights? Yeah, it might feel a little cheesy, but every time you turn on the light of your Christmas tree, or the candles in your window, or you drive around neighborhoods with your friends or with your kids to look at all the lights, it should remind us of the one true light. It should remind us, this is beautiful. These lights are wonderful to look at. But praise God that he opened our eyes to see the light of the world. And in him, we no longer walk in darkness. We've been forgiven. Praise God that he sent the true light. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. I pray that you would help us to see the light, show us the evil of the darkness, that it separates us from you, and the only way to know you, to be forgiven and brought into a relationship with you, is to come into the light. Open the blind eyes, Father, to see the truth. Save them today. And for those that you've already done that, would you help us to walk in holiness and that we would hold fast to the word of life. We pray all this in Jesus' name, who is the light of the world. Amen.